Thank you. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭി సవినామ్యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతిం సువదాన్నియం. వందేహం శ్రీగురుం శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగి రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. వంశకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతార్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీం. నమోస్తుతే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే ఫుల్లారవిందాయతపత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణం ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపాం. ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకవాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో ముగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుదీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహల్. వసుదే వసుదం దేవం కంసజాలూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రథజల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవతి కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమగర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోత్తీర్ణం ఖలుబాంధవైరణ నది కైవర్తక కేశవాం. పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతాథగంధోత్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథ సంబోధనాభోదితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరః పేదీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారతమంగజం కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూకం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. య బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్వేదైర్ సాంగవదైర్ క్రమోపనిషదైర్ గాయంతి యం సమగాః. ధ్యానావస్థితద్గదేన మనస పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుస్సురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమదయాధ్యాయ నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. సో వివర్ డిస్కసింగ్ ది సెవెంత్ చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ భగవద్గీత విచ్ ఇస్ నోన్ ది నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ది అబ్సల్యూట్ జ్ఞాన విజ్ఞాన యోగం యాజ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ టైటిల్. యాజ్ యు హావ్ సీన్ బిఫోర్ దట్ ఇన్ దిస్ చాప్టర్ దర్ ఆర్ సో మెనీ important instructions for the devotees as well as for anyone who is trying to follow the path of spiritual life. So that's why in the beginning itself Krishna says that jnanam vijnanam, both are there in this chapter, both jnanam as well as vijnanam. So in that way, if you go, it has come later on, we saw that Krishna has taken a two ways of approaching the truth. In this chapter you will notice that on the one hand Krishna says that if you want to see me in this world, you can see me through the material elements and also through different other objects in this world, particularly the five material elements, as Krishna says, which are the external elements: earth, water, air, ether, fire, and so on. And then if you want to see me inside yourself, Krishna, I am present there also, in the mind, intelligence and false ego. All these three are coming from me, Krishna says, and they are the prakriti, material nature, which is in conjunction with the soul. The spirit soul maintains this human body. Human body cannot function without the presence of the soul. That is what the point that is being spoken there. Without the presence of the soul, all this has no meaning. The external things, that is the bhumi, apam, analam, vayu, kham, manas, buddhi, and evacha, vinna, prakriti, rashtada. The eight things, what is listed there. So, generally, we all have the mentioned things that is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Many of the things are common. They are not different. When Krishna spoke to Arjuna, because in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the time was limited and Krishna had to get through a lot in a short period of time, and therefore the same topics were again discussed later on in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Ekadasi Skandam, when Krishna spoke to Uddhava. There was a necessity to expand further, and that is why we'll see these topics being discussed again much more in detail in the Bhagavatam. So here you will notice that after the five material elements were spoken, later on Krishna talks about the three modes of material nature. That is what we were discussing. And in all these things, there are many, many things what one can take notice of if one continuously reflect on them. If you continuously reflect on these things, you will get a deeper understanding of what Krishna was pointing out to us to notice in our own mind. Our mind generally, because of its lack of analysis or analytical nature, always tend to accept only what is written there. But the great sages, and particularly when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, there is so many things that is involved, absorbed in that. And the more one analyzes that, one can see how deeper this whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness is in relationship with us and our relationship with Krishna. So, just like example, when I was mentioning last class that the five material elements, if you take Bhumi, Apam, Analam, Vayu, and Kham, that is earth, water, air, ether, and fire, these five different things, Krishna says from there you can learn so many different things from that. In the Bhagavatam, in order to bring this point to Yadu Maharaj, the Dattatreya Maharshi was brought forward. And using the Dattatreya Maharshi as an example, Krishna said that the Dattatreya has learned all these things from the five material elements. Uddhava was absolutely amazed by hearing about this. Then the 24 spiritual masters presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if one wants to advance spiritually, there is enough information in this world. Only thing is, Krishna says to Uddhava, that one has to have that way of thinking, analytical way of thinking, and also continuously approach me for that right understanding. Prithvi, Vayu, Akasham, exactly what is like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there also. Prithvi, Vayu, Akasham, Apogni, Chandravan, Ravi, Kapotam, Majagara, Sindhu, Pathanga, Madhukral, Braja, Madhuha, Harina, Meena, Pingala, Kurara, Arbhaga, Kumari, Sharaval, Sarpam, Urnanabhi, Subeshakral. 24. And 24 things are mentioned there. And out of that 24, the first five spiritual masters are these five material elements, what is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. So if you look into Bhagavatam, you will find there that the five spiritual masters are these five material elements. You can imagine a sage, the Tathagata is saying that from these five material elements I learned many, many things how I should deal with this world. Let us look at it, how the Tathagata learned and what we have learned from the five material elements. Because it's also important, because we are supposed to be devotees, aren't we? And we are also trying to understand Krishna consciousness from Bhagavad Gita. And so it is important to know how we think about the five material elements and what the Tathagata thought about the five material elements. When the Tathagata said about five material elements, the first thing that came to the Tathagata's mind was Prithvi, the earth, Mother Earth. Tulkarunye pravarte ivanahi gurur logavarte vibhuman sarvakranda vibhumir nahi jaladidadam salchamam shikshayeyam. This is the first thing that Uddhava says to Krishna. Tulkarunye pravarte, if I have to understand anything from Mother Earth, that knowledge will come to me only if Krishna shows some mercy. Otherwise it's not possible. So this is why we are not getting that, understanding what others got from that. The Tathagata got it, Uddhava got it, we didn't get it. We are also walking on the same earth where Uddhava has walked. We are also walking on the same earth where the Tathagata Maharshi was walking. But the Tathagata and Uddhava learned many things from earth. What did we learn? We only learned how to exploit the earth, where we can make another channel tunnel somewhere or drill somewhere else something else. And this is the grossness in us. This is where the difficulty is. Tulkarunye pravarte kaiva nahi gurur logavrate vibhuman sarvakranda vibhumir nahi jaladi dadam salchamam shikshayeyam. I learned this from earth. The Tathagata Maharshi says that when in the olden days, when people got up from the bed in the morning, before they touched the earth, they put the hands on the earth and put it on their head. Why? Because their understanding was Shri Dhara Shlishta Parshvam. That Shri and Dhara, Shri is Mahalakshmi, Dhara is Mother, Bhumi Devi and Shri Devi are Krishna's two wives in Vaikuntha. So before I put my feet on you every morning, I touch her and put it on my head, realizing, my dear mother, I'm going to commit a great mistake by putting my feet on your body. Because this earth is the gross body of Prithvi or Mother Earth. This was their understanding in those days when they had some spiritual understanding of life. That is why it is said, Tulkarunye pravarte. All this understanding will only come when Krishna shows some mercy to us. Kaivanahi gurur logavrute vibhuman sarvakranda vibhumir nahi jaladidadam salkshamam shikshayeyam. Otherwise this will not happen. Otherwise our mind will go, as soon as we see the land, there is so much land to be procured, or how many cents are available, how much can I increase my land proprietorship. This is what we think about the land. This is our understanding of the land. But the great personalities, they found something to learn from Mother Earth. What did they learn? They learned salchamam shikshayeyam, that so many people do so much offenses to Mother Earth, isn't it? Somebody is digging, somebody is covering it up, somebody is bringing all their excretia and all the other filth and dump it on her. So much garbage is thrown at her. In spite of all that, Mother Earth is not saying anything. She is still providing us for our livelihood in this world. Whatever food or whatever that is required for our maintenance, Mother Earth is provided. So Atreya Maharshi says there, I learned from Mother Earth this one thing. If I want to understand spiritually, I have to learn that quality of Mother Earth. Otherwise there is no possibility. Because from Mother Earth, this is what I learned. Atreya Maharshi says there, Tulkarunye pravarte kaiva nahi gurur logavrute vibhuman sarvakranda vibhumir nahi jaladi dadam salchamam shikshayeyam. So many times people are forcing us to do so many things. But Tathagata Maharshi says there, I have to learn this quality of tolerance from Mother Earth. In spite of the fact that so much offenses are being committed to her, kind of offenses endless what we do to her. Because we have no spiritual perception. We think Krishna has created this Mother Earth for us to exploit and enjoy it as much as possible. This is our understanding. So now you can see why we do not get any realizations from spiritual life. Because this is how we have trained our mind. As soon as we want to exploit the nature, as we want to exploit the earth, we start digging from one end to the other. And then when the earth, when she finds it unbearable, she reacts sometimes. And when she reacts, we are asking why she is doing this. So this is our mentality. This is the difficulty with the modern world. That tolkarunye pravrte kaiva nahi guru loka vrte vibhumen sarva kranda virbhumer nahi chalati tadam salkshamam shikshayam. So this is the first material element. What the Tathagata Maharshi says, I learned from Mother Earth. That under all circumstances, under all provocations in this world, if I want to go back home, back to Krishna, I have to learn to tolerate everything in this world. I do not have to counteract against it. And this one quality I learned from Mother Earth, Prithvi. And because she has kept on tolerating everything, she has got another name, Kshama. Kshama means to tolerate. This is became another name for Mother Earth. Bhumi or Mother Earth, another name is Kshama, because she is able to tolerate everything. So this one quality I learned from Mother Earth. This is how the Tathagata Maharshi says there. Graniyami shatattad dushay parijayam aprasaktim samira stavo chitterubayam gagana tarisham. In relationship with the other material elements, you can see where we come to, how close we are to Dattatreya in our understanding. Different material elements if you take. This is the question, first one about earth, Prithvi. Now if you take the next one, Prithvi Vayu. Vayu is air. Now the air, whatever we speak about air, how much conscious are we from air? What did Dattatreya Maharshi learn from air? The Tathagata Maharshi learned from air. Air is present everywhere. It is going, associating with flowers. It's associating with stool and garbage also. But in spite of all that, the air is transcendental. It stays. After some time, it keeps moving. It moving from one object to another. And as much as it gets in contact, association with one material element, as it moves to the next element it drops its the qualities that is acquired and takes the next one. In other words, nowhere it has any particular attachment. Air has no particular attachment. That is why it's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam like that. then the quality of air is that it does not want to associate with anything, particularly for a longer period of time. And as much as it moves from there, it leaves that quality is what it has acquired temporarily. So Krishna says there, that the Tathagata Maharshi says there, in the Bhagavatam it is mentioned like this, Graniyami shatattad dushaya parijayam aprasaktim samira stavam, that it has no relationship with anything permanently. Similarly, the Tathagata Maharshi says that, if I want to stay, if I want to go back home, back to Godhead, in any other material object, when I come into contact with this material world, I have to maintain the same consciousness like air. That is what I have learned from air. The Tathagata Maharshi says like that. So when we say in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhumi Ravanalo Vayu, Kamano Buddhirevaja, Ahangara Mini Alpa, Bhinna Prakriti Rashtala, that these five material elements, why Krishna mentioned there is that if somebody is interested in spiritual life, if someone wants to understand me and if they want to learn something from these material elements, there is an opportunity to understand them. So all these things, what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, it was not just put down there for the sake of just to recite the verses. But these material elements, what has been mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, they should stimulate the thoughts of a person and try to think why it has been spoken like that. Whereas, if somebody talks to us about air, the only thing that will come to our mind is probably Ryanair or something like that. This will be the only concept what is in our head about air. So you can understand where our head is, our consciousness is, and where the consciousness of the Tathagata Maharshi is. So because we have developed this way of thinking, due to the, because the reason Krishna says in the next many verses about talking about the three modes of material nature, all these things are interconnected. It is not that they have been separated for any reason. The material elements, the subtle elements, the spirit soul, as well as the modes of nature, they all are linked to each other and they all have its impact on each other. They interact each other. So therefore, in order to explain this process to us, Krishna says later on about the three modes of material nature. So just like as you have seen about air, look at the other material elements also that Krishna says about, Krishna spoke about the air, and then quality of the air is mentioned there. And then Krishna talks about the fire, how the fire, the nature of the fire, or what is the nature of the fire. The nature of the fire is this, that anything that comes to the fire, it gets burned. In other words, it is purified automatically. Whether it is a dead body or whether it is ghee that is poured into the fire, it gets both burned, isn't it? So this quality of fire, that it has the capacity to burn and purify anything in this world, that is a special quality with the fire. Similarly, the Tatre Maharshi says there, if as a devotee, if I have to follow the process of back home back to Krishna, then I have to become like fire. That anything that comes to me, it should get purified, not that I contaminate that. Whereas if we, on the other hand, if any time fire is spoken to us, the only thing that will come to us is 999. That's our fire understanding of the fire. So gross we are in our thinking of life and all the material elements, that when Krishna says something, we will not understand why Krishna has given all this importance to this five material elements so much. Bhumi rapana lovayum khammano buddhirevaja ahangaram idi alma pinna prakriti rashtada. So in this way, Krishna is, the Tatre Maharshi is analyzing. The Tatre Maharshi is telling us that if you want to understand spiritual life, if you want to understand the joy of spiritual life, or if you want to understand, if you want to go back home, back to Krishna, there are so many prior requirements. It is not that I can do anything in this world and go back home, back to Krishna at the end. It is not going to happen. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita on these two issues tells us there is a lot of preparation to be done here before we go there. Otherwise, if we go there, there will be trouble there when we get there. And they will send us back straight away here. Because it is qualification that takes a person there, nothing else. And this Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam has been given to us so that one can utilize it and get that knowledge what is required to change ourselves. That is the purpose behind it. So Krishna says here that the while talking about the the three modes of material nature, Krishna mentions that in the verse 12, Echaiva sattvika bhava rajasa tamasaschaye mataye veditan vidhi natvaham teshu devai. Krishna says that all these things, why did this happen to us like this? Why are we thinking like this? And why the Tatre Maharshi is thinking in a different way? The Tatre Maharshi is thinking, Tulkarunye pravarte kaiva nahi gurur loga vrte vibhuman sarva kranda vibhumir nahi jaladidadam salchamam shikshayam grhniyamisha tattvadvishaya parijayam aprasaktim samira vyaptatvam chalpanome gagana guru vasham padu nirlepadacham. Then talking about the earth, fire, air, and then about the sky. What is the nature of the sky? The nature of the sky is present everywhere. In all, everywhere you see the presence of the sky. The Tatre Maharshi says, I learned from the sky one important quality. What is that? The soul is present in every living entity. It's not that it's only present in me. It's present in every living entity. Not only in every living entity, it is present everywhere. It's only actually the soul is present everywhere. The presence of the soul in all places, in all conditions, the Tatre Maharshi, I learned from the sky. So when the Tatre Maharshi saw the sky, what did he learn? He learned the presence of the the presence of the soul in all living entities. And what did we learn from the sky? We learned there is a thing called sky TV. That's what we learned from the sky. Did we learn anything else from the sky? So, we learned the sky TV where we can watch everything, enjoy it, and this is our sky understanding. So, in every single material element if you take, it is like that. Tolkarunye pravarte ka ivanahi guru logavurte bhibhuman sarvakranda bhibhumir nahi jaladidadam salchamam shikshayayam grinhiyamesha tattadushaya verijayam aprasaktim samiravyaptatvam chapanomi gaganaguruvasham bhadunarlepatajam. Sky has no fear. It is present in every place. There is nowhere where you will go and see. There is no sky there. Sky is present everywhere. Exactly like that, the soul is present in everywhere, in every conditions. Soul exists. And we, what did we realize? We think, is there a thing called soul? This is what we are asking. So this is our condition. That we have even not, we are still, our scientists have not found out yet. We are waiting for them to tell us that the thing called soul exists. And after that, we will accept it. Up to that, we will keep reading Bhagavad Gita verse after verse, and we'll still think, it is a thing called soul exists? We're not sure about that. So, let the research continue, and by the time we get the results from there, I don't know how long it's going to take. Krishna is saying here that like the sky is present in every living, everywhere throughout in the creation, similarly, I am present there in every living entity and in all other conditions, the soul exists. So the presence of the soul is felt, understood, Dattatreya Maharshi. Dattatreya Maharshi didn't do any experiment. He didn't go to any laboratory to test whether the soul exists, sky exists everywhere or not. Simply lying down on the banks of the river Kaveri, when Dattatreya Maharshi met King Yadu, King Yadu asked a question to Dattatreya, how did you know all these things? Dattatreya says, I didn't do anything. I was just lying down and I could see and think. And from there I understood. This is what I have learned. And from the sky I learned that if I don't understand the soul that exists, whereas we understand that everywhere matter exists. That's why we keep on searching the matter everywhere, isn't it? We keep sending Sputniks and all the other satellites, this, that, everything to other planets to check what the matter available there. So on the one hand, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is telling us to search for the soul, and we are continuously searching after the matter. What kind of matter? What methane or ethane or propane or butane or whatever, what is that is present in all these places? This is what we are concerned about. Look at our intelligence. Look at, see how consciousness, how degraded the whole thing is. That they have fallen so far from there. And then they are saying, when they read Bhagavad Gita, I am not trying to understand anything what Krishna is saying, they say. Why? Because their mind has gone in such a wrong direction altogether. So Krishna is, in order to bring us back into the track, Krishna has spoken all these things in the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise there was no necessity to say about these things. It was understood by everyone else. So earth and then water. Svachasyam pavanoham madhura udagavan. The nature of water, what is that? Pure water. Dattatreya Maharshi says, when I saw water, I stopped at the well and drank the water. When I drank the water, I realized, he says, I should be pure like the water. All the time, svachasya alpavanoham, svacham, always it is very steady. It doesn't get disturbed at all under any conditions. Pavanoham, and it's pure also, pure clean water is like that, the nature, and it tastes good as well. Similarly, anyone who comes into contact with me, Dattatreya Maharshi says there in the Bhagavatam, that anyone who comes into contact with me should feel a sweetness of the water by dealing with me. This is what Dattatreya Maharshi learned from water. So from earth, water, air, ether and fire, from five material elements, Dattatreya Maharshi learned something very important. Some qualities, what is necessary for going back home, back to Krishna. And what did we learn from the water? We learn from the water, when Thames water sends the bill, we have to pay the bill. This is what we learn from the water. So our realization from five material elements and the Dattatreya Maharshi's realization from five material elements are poles apart. And then we are saying that why all these things, such an important thing mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, these five material elements mentioned. The importance is this, that Krishna has, this is, Krishna says this, this earthly planet is something like a school who wants to learn spiritual life. Everything I have put it in there already. Only thing, one has to be a little bit observant and also thoughtful in that way. One who thinks in that direction, he will find the answer in this very world. The Tathagata Maharshi learned from these five material elements, these five things. So, when we talk about all these things, then the question comes that if you look at the Bhagavad Gita's first words, commentary from Srila Prabhupada, you'll find there, Prabhupada says there, that this understanding of spiritual life, it is not easy to come by. It's not easy to come by. Why? Because of one reason only, the three modes of material nature. We will not easily accept that. And if you tell people that you are in the lower modes of nature, or all of us in the lower modes of nature, it is even very difficult for people to accept it. And Srimad Bhagavatam in the beginning itself, Vedavyas is saying there, Shrinvadam Sakatha Krishna, hear about Krishna all the time. Punya Shravana Kirtanam Hridyandastohi Abhadrani Vithanodi Suhril Sadam. If you hear about Krishna all the time, what will happen is Hridyandastohi Abhadrani. All the Abhadram. What is that Abhadram inside? Abhadram means inauspicious things inside. There is so much, now at least you must have felt a little bit, there is a lot of inauspiciousness inside, isn't it? From this example of five material elements, what I mentioned, you can at least a little bit thoughtful people can see that there is something inauspiciousness inside me. That concept, that conviction will come very easily. Otherwise, why I am not thinking like Dattatreya? I am thinking in a completely different way. Because there is a lot of inauspiciousness inside. So, there, Srimad Bhagavatam is saying here that Shrinvadam Sakatha Krishna. If you continuously hear about Krishna, why it is important to hear about Krishna? We'll come to that later. Why not somebody about someone else? Or find the same purification by hearing about someone else? You may ask that question. Shrinvadam Sakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam. Why Krishna is Punya Shravana Kirtanam. What is Krishna? Is the most auspicious thing. Why? He is not touched by the modes of nature. That is why it is. Hridyandastohi Abhadrani. All the Abhadram inside, Vithunodi Suhral Sadam. It is immediately taken away from there. Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Daily, if one reads a Srimal Bhagavatam, that is the only way one can come out of this illusion or the three modes of nature that is created. Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Then, Bhagavadi Uttama Shloge Bhaktir Bhavadi Naishtigi. If you do that, Krishna, Vedavyasa Maharshi says there, that little by little some bhakti will come inside. Otherwise we are all declaring ourselves to be great devotees, aren't we? We keep saying, I am a bhakta, he is a bhakta, everybody is a big bhakta, mahabhaktas we are all. But Krishna, this recognition is not we recognize, it has no meaning. It is worth nothing. It's worth nothing. That recognition has to come from Krishna. When Krishna says, you are my devotee, you are a devotee, that is recognition. Up to that point, none of us can put that claim forward. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavadi uttama shloge bhaktir bhavadi naishtigi. Then, how will that happen? How does this bhakti comes in to the heart? Yadha rajastamo bhavam kamalobhadayaschaye chedamedaranavidham sthidam sattva prasidati. Out of the three modes of material nature, namely sattvam, rajas and tamas, Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Sudeva Goswami says there in the Bhagavadam, Yatha Rajas Tamo Bhavam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam is damaging to us very much. Rajogunam and Tamogunam is very damaging to us. We are thinking that, oh, why? I am following all the four regulative principles. I must be in Sattvagunam. I am chanting 16 rounds every day, so I must be in Sattvagunam. This is what we think about us. But if you want to understand, these three modes of nature has been discussed in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam very elaborately. One full chapter Krishna has allotted in the Bhagavad Gita known as Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam. I think it is the 15th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. It's called Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam. Gunatraya means these three modes of nature. So, I'm not satisfied with explaining the three modes of nature in the seventh chapter. Krishna has dedicated one full chapter in Bhagavad Gita later on, known as the three modes of material nature, which is the Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga. And it is always very difficult also to understand these modes of nature. Only through examples one can get a little bit understanding of the modes of nature. Otherwise, we will completely misunderstand everything also. So, after not being satisfied with Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna spoke about, to Uddhava, about the, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, again he spoke about this Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga in detail, much more in detail there. And there are some things which you are not found in Bhagavad Gita, you will find there. So, somehow or the other, we have to understand that the three modes of material nature, Sattugunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam, the three ropes that has been put around us by the material nature is binding us very strongly in this world. So, Krishna, that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the beginning itself says, Yada Rajastamo Bhavam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam, Kama Lobhavesh Chayem, that kamam and lobham, lust and greed, along associated with that. Chedam eder anavidham. If one reads Srimad Bhagavatam and applies Srimad Bhagavatam to one's own consciousness, the result will be Chedam eder anavidham. His chedas or consciousness will get purified. Stidam sattve prasidati. The result will be sattvagunam will manifest in that person. Stidam sattve prasidati. And sattvagunam means what? Knowledge and enlightenment, always happiness and peacefulness. These are the qualities associated with Sattugunam. So Sattugunam will manifest in a person, and with the result of that is he will develop spiritual knowledge. Otherwise there is no possibility. In Rajogunam and Tamogunam, knowledge will not develop inside. That is why all this problem, because of the deep-rooted Tamogunam in us and Rajogunam in us, even after reading Bhagavad Gita millions of times, still we are finding it too difficult to understand what Bhagavad Gita is saying. It is only due to the lower modes of nature, particularly the lower modes of nature. So that is why Srimad Bhagavatam is necessary. Yadha rajas tamo bhavam kama lobhadayashchaye chedamedranavidham sthidam sattve prasidati. Then what will happen? Evam prasanna manaso bhagaval bhakti yogada bhagaval tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. That if you become prasanna manasa, that means in a jolly mood consciousness, if one becomes like that, bhagaval bhakti yogada, bhakti will come to that person, Krishna consciousness will come to that person. Then bhagaval tattva vijnanam, not only the devotion associated with the knowledge as well, mukta sangasya jayate, that is one liberation will happen to that person. Otherwise it's not going to happen. That we should not carry this illusion in our head that I'm doing the very minimum what is necessary and I've done so much service, now I have got the right to ask for the liberation from Krishna, that he will offer me that. No, Krishna will know our position. As per the, according to Bhagavatam, it is like this. Chedam edrana vidam stidam sattve prasidadim evam prasanna manaso bhagavan bhakti yogada bhagavan tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Then vidyate hridaya grandhi chidyande sarva samshayaha. That hridaya grandhi, that at the moment, because of this rajogunam and tamogunam, there is a very deep-rooted attachment to material life and material world and all the other material objects as well. And that bondage is so strong, unable to break it away. Every time when we read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, although little bit of understanding comes from that, unable to break away from the knots of this material attachment. So that's why Bhagavatam says, vidyate hridaya grandhi chidyande sarva samshayaha. That all these doubts that is coming all the time, that has to go. Because these doubts are the demons. They come and put a lot of questions. What you are doing is right or wrong. All these doubts all the time. And then we think that it is a very interesting topic actually. Because these three modes of nature, how it is fooling us all the time in this world. We think we are intelligent. And we are trying to deal with the situation. But the modes of nature is placed with us all the time. Every time when things go wrong, we think why it has happened like that. Vidyate hridaya grandhi chidyande sarva samshaya kshiyande chasya karmani. Sarva samshaya will go, all the doubts will go. And then what else? Kshiyande chasya karmani. that karma will become ultimately what is holding us to this world. It is our own karma. The karma is not finishing. Narottam Das Thakur says in many of the prayers that that karma bandhanam, that bondage with the karma has to go. That is what he has prayed to Krishna all the time. That please break this karma bandhanam, that bondage from karma. Somehow release me from this bondage, he said. That Shiyande Chase Karmani, and then Drishtovayo Atmanishwari. Then you can see Krishna within, very much inside oneself, one will see Krishna. Atayo Kavayo Nityam Bhaktim Paramayamuda Vasudeve Bhagavadi Kurvan Alpa Prasadanim. Then Atayo Kavayo Nityam Bhaktim Paramayamuda. Learned people are saying, learned transcendentalists, they are saying that Bhaktim, when you have come to that stage, there will be pure devotion at the heart. That is when one can say he is a pure devotee of Krishna. That pure devotion will manifest inside so powerfully. And that Vasudeve Bhagavadi. Only Krishna is the absolute truth, nothing else. Kurvan Alpa Prasadanim. At that point, Alpa Prasadam, or that pure happiness, or the Sachidananda nature, or the blissful nature of the soul will manifest in a person. So you can see from Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada has quoted these verses in the commentary on the first verse itself, in order to make us realize that the difficulty in advancing spiritual path. Sometimes people say that if this bhakti process is so simple, why everyone do not take to it, isn't it? That's also another question. Every time people ask this question, oh, bhakti is such a simple process, because all of us are thinking we are all great bhaktas. That's why the problem is, and the process is such a simple process. But where we stand, and what Prabhupada has mentioned about that, if you read in the second chapter, in the verse number 3, Manushyanam sahasresho kaschidyanada siddhaye yadadama visiddhanam kaschinmam veti tatvadam. Prabhupada mentions in the second chapter, the purport, he says here, if the path of bhakti is so easy, if the path of bhakti is so easy, as the non-devotee class of men proclaim, then why do they take up the difficult path? This question always comes from people. We say the path of bhakti is very, very easy. Sometimes we make it so simple. All I have to do is to chant, dance and feast. And I am a pure devotee after that. This is what I have learned. And without any hesitation, I am able to say this to others also. I am chanting, dancing and feasting, so I must be a pure devotee. But if you read this verse here, what Prabhupada is writing here, if the path of bhakti is so easy, as the non-devotee class of men proclaim, why do they take up this difficult path? Actually, the path of bhakti is not easy. There is a reason why this has been written like that. Because this bhakti margam has got one big problem. People misunderstand that it is a very simple thing. And they will twist and turn everything to suit their wants. And they will change it in such a way, and they will feel that I am still a great devotee. That illusion will come very easily. In jnana margam and karma margam, this won't happen. Because in jnana margam, unless you get that realization, what the jnanis are endeavoring for, unless that happens, the jnani will still struggling with his endeavor for spiritual knowledge. Similarly, the one who goes through the karma yogam, or the process of karma yogam, and who is practicing, he knows very well how difficult it is to act with that detachment in karma yogam, and the renunciation detachment necessary. And also, the execute the karma yogam in its perfection is also very, very difficult. So, pratyavaya dosham, it is called, while executing karma yogam, either due to dravyam, that is the ingredients, or due to the people who are performing the sacrifices, their qualifications, all these things matters in karma yogam. So, when it comes to karma yogam or to jnana yogam, there is this great difficulty to execute it properly. And there is always what is known as pratyavaya dosham. Pratyavaya dosham means these things which are not noticeable, but it does come in. For example, while chanting the mantram, if something, a small mistake happens, all your whole sacrifice has gone into waste. So therefore we require people with the proper understanding and without mistakes able to chant the mantra. Similarly, Jnanamargam also, the difficulty comes in the same way. You have to have that sharp mind and sharp intelligence to understand, to analyze things in one's own mind. So there you can easily understand that unless one has acquired that qualities, one cannot progress on those two parts of yoga system. But when it comes to Bhakti Yoga, because it is such a simple, it appears as though it's a simple process, and we start thinking it is such a simple process, I don't have to do anything, I can change anything what I want with the Bhakti Yoga process, and then we do things which has no relationship with Bhakti. There is no Bhakti in there, it is purely karma then. And because it is like that, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned this here, very particularly here, that the take of the difficult, actually the path of Bhakti is not easy. The so-called path of Bhakti, practiced by unauthorized persons, without knowledge of Bhakti, may be easy. So it obviously shows that there are a lot of people who say they are Bhaktas, and they are practicing also so-called Bhakti. But Prabhupada says here that without knowledge of that Bhakti may be easy, because that's how when it becomes easy to practice it, when you don't follow anything, what properly Bhakti means. But when it is practiced actually, factually, according to the rules and regulations, the speculative scholars and philosophers fall away from the path. Rupa Goswami writes in his Bhakti Rasavada Sindhu, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Panchanatra Vidhim Vina Aigandika Hariya Bhaktir Utpahayaiva Kalpade. Rupa Goswami says that Shruti, Smriti and Puranam. Shruti and Smriti are considered to be the two eyes. Actually, we are blind people. When we are born, we are blind. So what is the two things, how can you see this world properly? Through these two things, Shruti and Smriti. And Puranas are the heart. So these three things are necessary to visualize something. And therefore, Shastra has been given to us. Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi. Shruti, Smriti and Puranam is given to us for our proper understanding of this world and how to deal with this world. So otherwise what will happen is that the process of Bhakti will be easily misunderstood. And we will misunderstand, not only will misunderstand Bhakti, we will also engage in activities which are totally detrimental to Bhakti. That can also happen. That is why all the time one has to be constantly fixed up in what is pure devotion means. What devotion means is spoken of by the authorities like Rupa Goswami and others. It is they who have mastered the science of Bhakti. And it is through there, and if we try to twist it or change it or accept it, then all the effort is simply a waste of time. Shramaye Evahi Kevalam, Bhagavadam says, it is simply waste of time. You are put all the time, you have been pulling water from the well whole day, and in the evening you have broken the pot. So what's the use? the effort is there. But so similarly, here also in this relationship with Bhakti, this can easily happen. And therefore, in several instances in the Bhagavadam and Ramayanam and all, you will find a lot of references to this time and again when great personalities speak about it. Lord Ramachandra is the finest example on this. In one instance in Uttara Ramayanam, you will find an interesting story about it. That it so happened that people start misunderstanding things in their own mind. They started interpreting things in their way to suit themselves so they can get some profit from that. So they do not know, sometimes they are not even unaware of this, what they are doing. And they start doing things completely ignorance, and later on it becomes a habit and start thinking that everything is perfect, I'm properly situated. So that's where the difficulty comes, and then to change that consciousness is very, very difficult. So because of this, when once it so happened that the Uttara Ramayanam story is very interesting, it is well known, this story, probably many of you may have heard even this story before, that when Lord Ramachandra was reigning in Ayodhya, at one time one dog came to the palace, and daily Ramachandra used to receive those who had any complaints about the administration. Unlike today, where we have to go to the ombudsman first. Ombudsman will take 6 months or 1 year, whatever time he wants to take. But Ramachandra's arrangement was such that anyone who had a complaint about the administration who go to the palace and complain to him, complain to the Supreme Lord himself if he had a complaint to do that. But now we say, no, we can't follow that nowadays. Why? Because there is so much complaints, we can't handle it. That is why we have stopped that. Otherwise, there's no problem doing that. Because the situation has developed in such a way that everyone, if they make a list of complaints, the whole complaints to deal with, there will be no time, anything else left for the administrator. So therefore, we have changed all the system in a different way. But Ramchandra's time, because the complaints were so minimum, very limited, and when there was a complaint, it was immediately looked into. Not that after the death of the person, the complaint comes to the court for judgment. The person has lived and finished with him and gone, and then probably it is analyzed. No, it wasn't like that. So once it so happened, a dog, it says there, came to the palace to see Lord Ramchandra. When the dog came, Lakshmana came out and asked the dog what was the need to come inside to see Ramachandra. The dog said to Lakshmana, that I cannot present you my complaint. I have to give the complaint to Lord Ramchandra himself and I need an answer from Ramachandra, he said. So Lakshmana thought, after all, why I cannot handle this, then I may take him to Ramachandra. I said, bring the dog in, he said. So the dog was brought inside. When the dog came in, that Ramachandra asked the dog, what is your complaint? The dog says to Ramachandra, I was beaten up by a Brahmana. A Brahmana beat me up on the street and he should be punished, the dog said to Ramachandra. Ramachandra says to the dog, what have you done to Brahmana? He says, Brahmanas are, according to Shastram, are not to be punished, isn't it? They don't deserve any punishment, no matter, even if they are wrong, they should not be punished. That is the system. But now the dog has come and told Ramachandra that he should be punished. So Ramachandra decided to call the Brahmana and inquire from him what he has done to the dog. So the Brahmana was called in to the assembly, to the parliament or whatever that is. And then when Ramachandra asked the Brahmana what happened, Brahmana says to Ramachandra that I was very, very hungry and I was going somewhere. The dog came barking at me. He was barking on the street at me. When he barked, I took a stick and gave him a beat. I beat him. I was so much in hunger I was experiencing, and I wanted to beat him at that time, to give him a good thrash, he said, to the dog. So, and he went, ran away crying from there. So he has come to the palace straight away to see Ramachandra. So Ramachandra says to the dog, what punishment should we give it to him, to this Brahmana? Because I don't know, because there is nothing in the Shastram mentioned there. What punishment should I give it to this Brahmana? Brahmana should not be punished. But at the same time, the complaint is such that the Brahmana need to be punished. Brahmana also said that I should be punished because it is not my nature to do such a thing. How it has happened, I do not know. Something has gone wrong with me. That is why I had done this, he said. So there was a discussion in Ramchandra's palace about it. There were many, many great justices who were present there, judges or whoever it is. Ramchandra inquired from them, what punishment should we give it to the Brahmana? None of them said what should be given. They were still hesitating to give any punishment to the Brahmana. It was at that time, Ramchandra asked the dog, what punishment should we give it to this Brahmana? The dog said that if you make him responsible in charge of a temple, that's enough, he said. That punishment is enough. So naturally, nobody could understand why was this spoken in this manner by the dog. The dog says, you make him responsible for a temple or wherever there is some worship is going on, or some institution where some worship is going on, and make him responsible, everything will be okay. That's all the punishment necessary, he said. So all the people who were present in the assembly, they could not understand why the dog is insisting like this. It was then that no other punishment, no beating, no hanging, nothing, capital punishment, nothing like that. Just a punishment that you make him responsible for an institution where it is running on charities or anything like that. So when it was spoken like that, ultimately Ramachandra asked the dog, you better explain to them why you have asked for this particular punishment, he said to the dog. The dog said, that is the best punishment I can think of, because in my previous life, the dog said, I was one like that, and I've got this dog's body in this life because of my activities in that position, what I led at that time. And that was the answer. So you don't have to punish him there. There are five things in the Shastrams he says there. The wealth of the temple, the wealth of the Brahmanas, the wealth of the women, the wealth of the children, and the wealth of the cows. Devaswam, Brahmaswam, Streeswam, Balaswam, and Goswam. That is how it is called. These five things, nobody protects them. It is supposed to be not to be touched by anyone. One has to be aware of that these things, nobody can protect them, because they can't protest you. If you try to steal, if you try to rip them off, or if you try to cheat them, they can't protest because their position is like that. The temple, the deities, they won't protest, would they? Deities will watch you, what you are doing, that's all. But they won't protest against you. So you can easily commit something there. There's nothing to stop you from doing there anything. Secondly, the Brahmanas. Brahmanas, they won't protest. What can the Brahmana do? You can easily exploit the Brahmana. And that is what most of the, in Kali Yuga, most of them have done. Actually, that is how the Varnashrama Dharma was collapsed. If you want to destroy the system, Varnashrama Dharma system, the first thing is you destroy the Brahminical culture by throwing them out from their position and destroy them, and the result is everything else will automatically break up. So you can see that the wealth of the religious institutions, the wealth of the Brahmanas, it is not very difficult to steal. It is not very difficult to do that, because the allurement due to the circumstances is very strong. The strong circumstances will force one to take it very easily. And thirdly, apart from that, the women. Women's property, they are not capable of protecting themselves in many, many situations. Either the property has been given to them for their own protection by the parents or the husband or by the children. But often they are incapable of managing their own assets in this world. And what has come to them, very easily they get cheated or they are getting taken away from them by others. So similarly, children, is anything anyone required? Children's wealth to steal from a child, that's not also difficult. Similarly, the cows also. Whatever that belongs to them, it's very easy to take it away from them. So like this, there are so many things mentioned in the Shastram that one do not do things because they cannot be, they cannot defend themselves against being attacked by the unscrupulous people. Therefore, the material nature has provided a rule that one who touches them, they have to accept heavy sinful reactions also from that. So Sarayama, that was the name of the dog who came and told this particular experience of the dog himself to Ramachandra. And Ramachandra said, that is the best explanation, he said, to all those who are present there. I don't have to elaborate any more further, he said. This is enough, that this example, I'll send this Brahmanas in charge of something, one of these, and he will in due course get his dog's body from that. You don't have to particularly punish him for anything. By his own activity, Krishna doesn't punish anyone in this world. Krishna doesn't punish anyone. When something has to go wrong in one's life, all what Krishna does is he engages him in such activities that it will create eventually the sinful reactions, and he will continuously slip from his position, from his spiritual position. Similarly, when one wants to advance also spiritually, Krishna will engage that person in such activities that will elevate him on the spiritual path. So in other words, karma is the tool through which Krishna punishes the person, either elevating him or degrading him. Both these things are done through karma. And who does the karma? We does ourselves. But who prompts us from within? It is Krishna who prompts us to do that. Or Krishna, when he decided that somebody should degrade himself in that way, he will engage him in such activities that the person, without Krishna's interference in his life, continuously he gets degraded, or he gets induced to engage in such activities that he himself will eventually invite a lower body for himself in his later time. So karma phalam, or the results of karma, follows one very stringently, no matter who it is. And that is that story on the Ramayanam. So when these stories were spoken, the idea is to communicate this point that in bhakti process, although we may think that bhakti yoga is a wonderful yoga system and pure devotion is that everyone is aiming at, to reach that point is very, very difficult unless one is extremely cautious about it and analyzing one's own activities properly. There is a strong possibility that one may become one's own enemy at that time. We may be thinking that throughout life I have been executing bhakti yoga, and at the end, if I have to accept a lower body later on, then what happens? What is the situation? That is what it is mentioned there. So therefore, these three modes of nature and their understanding is important. The three modes of material nature is important to understand why the modes of nature has to change and how this can be changed. This is what is discussed in the quite a few verses now on. So while speaking about this, Krishna says here in this particular, in this last verse, in 12, verse 12, ye chaiva sattvika bhava rajasa tamasa ashtaye mataye veditan vidhi natvaham teshudemai. Then sattvam, rajas and tamas, these three gunas, they have come from Krishna. Sattvikam, rajasam and tamasam, and they have come from Krishna. Krishna didn't come from the gunas. Gunas came from Krishna. Therefore, from there you can see where does this guna stand. They stand in Krishna's, in the Maya, it stands there. Then, in other words, it cannot touch Krishna. It can only touch Maya, only is maximum that gunas have influence on. The three modes of material nature, sattvam, rajas and tamas, finishes there. After that, it cannot touch the Supreme Personality, Krishna. Why do we say then that we have to be in contact with Krishna? Our mind is always associated with the modes of nature. So this modes of nature, there is nothing in this world where there is no modes of nature. Everything you touch in this world, what you see with all your senses, in everything there is modes of nature. There's nothing without modes of nature. All the objects in this world, they are modes of nature, has an effect on them. For example, we say white, red and black color. White is a satugunam, and the and the red is the rajogunam, and black is the tamogunam that exists in that particular object. Now, it is not a racial statement, please don't misunderstand. It is different thing. These sattvam, rajas and tamas, how that affects a person, this is all in relationship with consciousness, not with the color of that person. So, so this sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, they exist everywhere. In the body presents as vadam, pitam and kapham, air, bile and mucus, it's present there. And in all the objects, in the knowledge what you acquire in this world, sattvam, rajas and tamas is present there. So when the mind interacts with, all the time mind is absorbed in thinking about either about an object in this world or about another individual in this world. This is what normally our mind is absorbed in, isn't it? Most of the time mind is thinking about someone, or mind is thinking about some object in this world, some particular object. Both the objects and the living entities, they are in the modes of nature, three modes of nature. So generally, in a normal conditions, our mind is three modes of nature, and it mixes with the other objects and individuals who are also in the modes of nature. So what happens? Interaction happens between the mind and the objects. So modes of nature inside, modes of nature outside. So therefore, this mixture of gunas continuously goes on inside. This is the way our mind and intelligence is working all the time. In other words, you are not free. None of us are free from the three modes of material nature. This is the categorical statement in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. We are not free from the modes of material nature. And in order to escape from this three modes of material nature, the only way you can do it is to absorb the mind in something which is not under the modes of nature. Normal tendency is to mix the mind with the matter, with the modes of nature, through the objects or through the other individuals. But if you learn to take the mind away from them and associate the mind with some object which is not under the modes of nature, which is Krishna alone, nobody else. So if the mind gets absorbed in Krishna, then there is no more modes of nature's influence on us. So you can see how hard it is to get out of the modes of nature. It is not easy. And Shastram gives you plenty of examples to understand this. A lot of people think that we are in the mode of goodness at least. We think like that because I'm following four regulative principles. I'm chanting 16 rounds, so I must be in the mode of goodness. And I'm not doing anything sinful. They also say like that. But do you know what mode of goodness means? If one is in the mode of goodness, he will do only one thing in this world. What is that? He is working for liberation. Nothing else he does in this world. Someone who is only endeavoring very hard to get out of this material world and endeavoring for liberation, he alone is in the mode of goodness. Nobody else. Everyone else is in the mode of passion and ignorance. So these three modes of nature that is generally spoken as gunanam, asameshanam. Asameshanam means not being mixed each other. That means all the three modes in itself and separately. Sattvam, rajas and tamas. So when sattvam, rajas and tamas is present, there are associated qualities along with that. We will discuss that when you come to Bhagavatam in detail because there is so much detailed understanding of that. So, sattvam, rajas and tamas in three modes of nature are present on its own. But never you will find these three modes on its own. They are always in mixed conditions. Therefore, it is called as malina sattvam. Malina sattvam means sattvagunam associated with rajogunam and tamogunam. When there is an intense sattvagunam inside or a higher degree of sattvagunam in relationship with rajogunam and tamogunam, then the possibility is that that person will endeavor a little bit towards the spiritual life. So now you know why many times people find it short of time for spiritual life. Because the rajogunam and tamogunam is pulling them back very strongly that they are not able to even think the need for spiritual life. Sattvagunam is so far away. That is why majority of the people in this world find it difficult to come to spiritual life even. The rajogunam and tamogunam is dragging them in the opposite direction, which is much more predominating their consciousness. And sometimes people have this understanding also that I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm looking after my family. I'm looking after my children. I'm giving them all happiness what they need. I bring them up nicely and I go to work. I earn a living in an honest manner. So I must be in the mode of goodness. No, Shastra says no. There again, all these things are coming from Rajogunam and Tamogunam. There's nothing else. So this Rajogunam and Tamogunam that is present in our mind and in our intelligence, that is very difficult to overcome. And because it is like that, it will make us also realize that how hard it is to come to the platform of goodness. Come to the platform of goodness. And unless one comes to the platform of goodness, all these things Krishna says, in the Bhagavad Gita, in several instances, that jnana nibena bhaswada, that spiritual knowledge will not come to that person unless he comes to the mode of goodness. And this is why everywhere you will find in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam and several other scriptures, develop mode of goodness. So this mode of goodness is an important criteria in the process of spiritual life. So if you go from here, from this verse, Krishna says everything in this world is trigunam. Trigunam means these three modes of material nature. Now, sometimes we have another question in association with this. What is that? We have so many and so much understanding. Sometimes people say, why don't I worship Lord Shiva? Why don't I worship Lord Brahma? Why don't I worship somebody else? That is the question often raised. In answer to that, Srimad Bhagavatam says there, that you have to worship Krishna alone, nobody else. For certain reasons it's spoken like that. And if you understand the reason also, you can appreciate that how important it is to worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are specific reasons behind it. Because what are these three modes of nature and what is Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva? Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva are the three forces of Krishna that has entered into three modes of nature. For example, goodness, passion and ignorance, three modes of nature exist in creation. So in order to manage that modes of nature, Krishna himself entered into them. Into mode of goodness he entered as Vishnu, into mode of passion he entered as Brahma, and in the mode of ignorance he entered as Lord Shiva. So in these three modes of nature, Krishna himself entered into these three forms. But from that, you should understand that they are not controlled like us by the modes of nature. But they control these three modes of nature. But because we are under the three modes of material nature, Bhagavatam says like this, that in order to come out of the lower modes of nature, you must worship the Supreme Personality, Krishna himself, nobody else. That no other worship will purify us as strongly as the worship of the in the mode of goodness, Vishnu or Krishna. That worship alone will purify. At least worship of Vishnu will bring one to the Satugana, to the mode of goodness. And there the result will be that you will be able to understand Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and the transcendental knowledge coming from there. Otherwise it's very difficult to understand. That in order to develop that consciousness, it is specifically mentioned, or the worship of the Vaishnava worship is recommended because of this. That because particularly in the age of Kali, where we are continuously being bombarded with all the lower modes of nature in different forms, and that is the only thing what we have got here to associate with, and we even do not know what three modes of nature is, and we are constantly associating with and thinking everything is wonderful. But in order to advance on the spiritual path, Krishna says there that in the particularly Vedavyasa Maharshi says there, Echaiva satvika bhava rajasa tamasa chaye mataye viditam vidhi natvaham teshu devai. That in order to come out of this, that rajasan tamogunam, there is no other way except to engage in the process of Krishna consciousness. These things are so important. If you understand the underlying principles behind all this philosophical explanation to that, then you will notice this, that again and again repeated, that the in order to come to the mode of goodness, first thing is to come to the mode of goodness, so that one can understand what Krishna consciousness means. And how to come to the mode of goodness, that is explained also, that these two things, holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam, they are beyond the modes of nature. They are not under the modes of nature. They are beyond the modes of nature. So by holding on to Bhagavatam and to the holy name, one can escape from the three modes of material nature. So except that, there is no other alternative, according to Bhagavad Gita. Tibir gunamayar bhavir ebi sarvamidam jagal mohidam nabijanadi mamebhya paramavvayam. While referring to Krishna, it is mentioned that sattvam yatal parabhyam Aparikalanado Narmalam Tenataval Bhudair Bhudendriya Staiva Buridi Bahusha Shruyate Vyasa Vakyam. Veda Vyasa Maharshi's words cannot go wrong. The great sages mentioned Satvam Yatal Parabhyam. That Satugunam, that is supreme of the three gunas, that is the nature of Vishnu. Satvam Yatal Parabhyam Aparikalanado Narmalam. It is so pure, like spadiyam. Spadiyam means like the glass it is. Once you can see through that person, one who is in the mode of goodness, that his consciousness is so clear. Satvam yatal parabhyam aparikalanado nirmalam. It is so pure inside. Nirmalam tena daval bhuder bhudendriya saiva buridhi bahusha shruyate vyasa vakyam. Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying this in this way, that the material elements and senses, they have been given into this material body. when they are purified and the body is in the mood of goodness, everything is in the mood of goodness, naturally it will be so clear, like crystal, it is clear. The whole person's nature is so clear, what he can, how he reacts with this world. That is why it's mentioned that like crystal clear. Shuyade vyasavakyam tval swachatval adadichadida parasugajil garbhi nirbhasarubam tasmin dhanya ramande shruti madhi madhure sugrahe vigrahe te. Krishna's form is such that it is shruti madhi madhure. It is so sweet to hear about, to talk about, and to remember also. Shruti madhi madhure sugrahe vigrahe te. That is Krishna's form. So in order to make us realize what is mood of goodness, Vedavyasa Maharshi is using Krishna's form as the example for us to understand. Krishna is, of course, transcendental even to the three modes of nature. Nirgunam it is. Krishna is Nirgunam. Beyond the three modes of material nature. But in order to understand that, one has to come through at least to the Satugunam, the mood of goodness. Whereas, when the Rajogunam and Tamogunam is present, predominating a person, you can also see that in one very easily. It's not very difficult. Bhagavad Gita is giving different explanations and also different definitions for all these things. What happens in Rajogunam? What happens in Tamogunam? So, for Tamogunam, it is mentioned there, Moodham, Layam and Jadam. What does that mean? Moodha means that if you repeat something even 10 times to one sampan, you will hear everything and then you will ask again, what did you say? The same question, you will come back again with the same thing, again and again. That strong presence of Tamogunam is like that. That it will not click inside because of the presence of strong Tamogunam inside. And Layam, because Layam means everything is dissolved in that person. He is not able to think. Anytime you ask anything to him, you say, oh, what can I do? Life is like this. I mean, you know, it's always something or the other. My body is giving this problem, but there's some other problem. Also, it will never be solved. But you know all these problems, but he will not do anything about it. That's the beauty of that. That he will say, keep saying this all the time, lamenting about it, continuously lamenting something or the other. And then the last one is Jadam. Jadam means that he simply likes to stay not doing anything, free from all other activities. So in other words, no matter whatever you say to that person, that he will make all excuses not to do anything. And simply, but he wants to do everything also, but doesn't want to spend any energy in doing that. In this way, he will carry on in this world, constantly bickering and whinging about everything and not doing anything about it. So this is the nature of that Tamogunam. And when this Tamogunam is very prominent in a person, then it's very difficult to understand all what Krishna has spoken about in the Bhagavad Gita. So if that is why it's necessary, these things are analyzed in detail. So we ourselves reflect on our own mind and see what is predominating in us strongly. And also to change that nature in us and to take lessons from Bhagavad Gita on this. Tribirgunamayarbhavir ebi samamidam jagal mohidam nabhijanadi mamebhya paramavyayam. Just like when a lake is completely filled with filth, that filth has to be removed for the water to become clear. Otherwise the water continuously get upset by that. Similarly, these three modes of nature is acting as a screen in front of Krishna. In the Bhagavatam it is mentioned like that in the beginning itself. When Vedavyasa Maharshi looked at Krishna, what did he see? Mayam tatadubhashridam. Maya Devi was standing there as a screen between Vedavyasa and Krishna and covering Krishna's presence from him. So, and completely under the shelter of Krishna. So that is how Maya is. Then, whatever we see in this world, we take it as total reality and we work on that process. When we do not have that understanding, Krishna says that. So the only way how we can get closer to Krishna is when we break that screen, that is the barrier between us and Krishna. And breaking that barrier means breaking the three modes of nature. It is a three layer that is standing in front of us. Satugunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam. Goodness, passion and ignorance. When that layer is broken, then one has the clear vision of the Supreme Personality, Krishna. So, Devihyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mamevaye prabadyande maya medam tarandidem. This thing called maya, what we are talking about all the time, is gunamaya. Krishna says it is gunamayam. Gunamaya means these three modes of nature is what is that is thing called maya. Nothing else. We keep saying maya, this is maya, that is maya, everything is maya. We say, what is this maya? This maya is nothing but these three modes of material nature. Devikesha gunamayi. That it is gunamayi. Gunamayi means these three modes are always present there. We don't even know about it. Imagine when you do not have any understanding of these gunas, you are continuously acting from an ignorant condition in consciousness. But when we analyze things from the viewpoint of developing the mode of goodness, as much as one comes to the mode of goodness, one can understand what the lower modes of nature is. Devikesha gunamayi. Then, mama maya duratyayam. Krishna says, my maya is also very difficult to overcome. It's very difficult to overcome. Mama maya duratyayam. Mamevayam prabadyande mayamedam tarandidem. But Krishna says it is possible to overcome provided you surrender to me. That is the, looks very simple when it says like that. Mamevayam prabadyande mayamedam tarandide. Only one who has surrendered to me can overcome this maya. From this we can understand that none of us are surrendered, isn't it? Isn't it? It's not very difficult. Although we say, oh, I am surrendered to Krishna completely. Sometimes we say like that. But how much we have surrendered, this verse will prove to us that mama maya duratyaya mamevayam prabadyande mayamedam tarandide. If you have really surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna says, there is no maya for you. So you sometimes if you get frightened of maya, you have to just take it that I have not surrendered to Krishna. That is why this maya is giving me trouble still one day after day in one form or the other. And this maya manifests in this world in different forms. And we only get to know that you are in maya only after the maya's business is over. Up to that time you won't even know that you are in maya. But only when the business is finished and when you are in distress, then you start thinking, oh, I was in maya at that time. At least some thoughts may come for some people at some time. Not necessarily that everyone thinks like this. What I'm saying from the point of view of Bhagavad Gita, it is like that. Very thoughtful people who have studied and analyzed the Bhagavad Gita and who live on the principles of Bhagavad Gita, they will analyze in that way that they are in maya. They are engaged in the activities of maya and maya is pushing them in different directions. And sometimes when they get experience, fall away from the spiritual consciousness to material world, they realize it that they were under the control of maya. So because of that, devotees know that protection is only shelter is Krishna. There is no other shelter. Simply by taking shelter of Krishna, one can free oneself from maya. That is why that process of surrender, pure Krishna consciousness is necessary. Devikesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mamevayam prabadyande mayamedam tarandire. Then in the next verse, Krishna says there, how does one come out of this maya? Continuously by associating with those who are fixed up in Krishna consciousness. That's the only way one can free oneself from maya. Because winning over maya means knowing Krishna. That is what it means. Winning over maya means knowing Krishna. So that can only happen when one takes to that process of associating with those who have at least freed themselves from maya to some extent. You may not find a possibility of finding someone completely released from maya is very, very difficult. And associating is also difficult. But at least by constantly endeavoring and associating with those who are freed to some degree from maya and who are constantly taking shelter of Krishna, by their association, one can free oneself from maya. Not by theoretically studying these things. Theoretical studies don't help. That will only tell you, you can write another thesis on that. That's all it can do. Nothing will happen to the person. If a person wants to change himself, that the Shastras are recommending, Krishna is recommending here, that one has to associate with those who are freed from Maya. That is the success of freeing oneself from Maya. If you want to become a devotee, what does Krishna say? You go behind someone who is a great devotee of Krishna. Simply by that association, you will also become a devotee. You don't have to do anything else. Just go after him. And doing like that, one becomes a devotee. So that is this process. Process is like that. Krishna structured it in that way. That is why all this spiritual hierarchy has been created. That devotees lead Krishna consciousness. And others get an opportunity to follow them in that way. And they also become Krishna conscious in that way, in their life. And purify themselves. Devi kesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mamevayam prabadyande mayamedam tarantide. It is very, very difficult to overcome Maya, Krishna says. By your own intelligence, you won't be able to overcome Maya. By your own effort, you won't be able to overcome Maya. That is how powerful Maya is. Namam dushkadino mudham prabadyande maradhama mayaya abhardajnanam asuryam bhavamashridaham. That Krishna says there, that there are generally in this world now different kinds of devotees Krishna is discussing. Or Krishna is describing the different categories of people in this world. One is called Dushkridinas. Dushkridina means one who has pious activities to his credit. Sukriti, to his credit. So one who has got pious activities, naturally his propensity to engage in pious life, pious way of living. Not engaging in diplomacy, not engaging in cheating. And engaging in truthful life, honest life. And maintaining a lifestyle which is favorable for Krishna consciousness. Namam dushkrino mudham prabadyande naradhamaha. And in that Krishna says, those who are not sukridina or who are not performed pious activities, there are four kinds, Krishna says. They are called dushkridinas. Dushkridinas means these four kinds of people who are engaged in such activities. What are they? Mudham. Mudha means one who is very ignorant. No matter how much you tell, that will not go into the head. Continuously they'll keep on asking the same thing again. Namam dushkridino mudha prabadyande naradhama. Naradhama means the lowest of the mankind. Krishna Prabhupada has explained that in the Bhagavad Gita, that this lowest of the mankind, if you look in that verse here, the lowest of the mankind the lowest of the mankind, another class of Dushkridina, is miscreant, is called the Naradhama, or the lowest of the mankind. And there he says there that when a person is born at the time of birth, he experiences through a lot of distress at the time of birth. And after the deliverance, the child forgets the difficulties of birth and forgets his deliverer also, being influenced by Maya, the illusory energy. So from this you can see that because we have forgotten the distress of taking birth and the distress or the help we received at the time of birth from Krishna, we just think that, oh, birth is finished, that's long back, it's over, why I worry about that? I should worry about death now more than birth. That is what we think. But Krishna is saying, no, from birth you learn these things. That when you were born, it was me who kicked you out from the womb inside. Prasutyai sutamarutaha. Bhagavatam says like that. There is Krishna has got one air inside the body called sutimaruta. So when the time is appropriate, we come out from there, from inside. We get kicked, thrown out from there, coming upside down. And from that day onwards, everything is upside down in life. The day we came out from the womb, prasutyai sutimarudaha. That sutimaruda has thrown us out from there. So this is the situation. So Krishna says, learn from that something. What is that? That you are suffering there inside the womb. But because it's over now, we are thinking why I should worry about it. That's our analysis today. Our so-called spiritual mind is telling us, then why you worry about birth now? You should be worrying about the death more than that. That's why all these insurances, bhupa, this, that and the other, it's all for death, isn't it? Or they are not offering anything for the birth, are they? They are only telling you, oh, we give you this, you start paying 50 plus this much premium into your pension plan. That will protect your family after your death. But there is no plan about the misery you are going to experience after leaving the body, another birth what is waiting. Unfortunately, they have not started any insurance plan for that yet. So, namam duskrino moodham, they are called Narathama. They are Narathama. Why? Because all their so-called insurance plans are for these kind of things. They are Narathama. Those who are paying and those who are giving equally. Both are, so we are all in that category, isn't it? Namam duskrino moodha prabhadyandhi Narathama. Because you are not learning anything from birth. Prabhupada is writing here. After being influenced by the material energy. So, it is the duty, Krishna Prabhupada says there, that when the whole population becomes Narathama, that is the next thing. If everyone becomes this Narathama, which is the present, more or less the modern world, only a personality who have freed themselves from this condition can see our pathetic condition, where we are today. It's not spoken to depress us. If you read all these purports of Prabhupada on the Bhagavad Gita, these verses, you may think that why it is Bhagavad Gita is so gloomy about everything. Whereas so many other things, such a rosy picture they paint in front of you, the newspapers and the television, they give you such a rosy picture about life. Whereas Bhagavad Gita is telling you certain things which if you accept it, if your mind and intelligence allows you to accept that, there is so much to learn from that. And that is why it is given such a detailed purport on that particular verse to tell us that naturally all their whole population becomes Narathama. Naturally all their so-called education is made null and void by the all-powerful energy of physical nature. So many years you go and spend in the university and college acquiring this degree, that degree and everything. Krishna is saying it's all waste of time at the end because you have not understood anything. What is the use? Okay, it may help you to get a job and fill the belly. That is another thing. If that is all the goal of life is to just to fill the belly. But if it is something more than that, to understand about life, Krishna is saying here that don't fall into this Narathama category. Analyze the life as it is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. That is why again and again in Bhagavad Gita it is repeatedly said that why one should analyze one existence in this world. That is why in this particular chapter, this analysis is done. You will find this is the only thing that is discussed to bring us to our senses, to make us aware that this is what our real situation is in this world. That Devi Kesha Gunamai, Mama Maya Duratteya, Mame Vayam Prabhadyande, Maya Medam Tarandide. Very difficult to overcome this Maya, and that is Gunamayam, three modes of nature. Few things, if one can reflect on these things in one's own mind, it will strengthen the convictions on spiritual life. Namam duskadino moodha prabadyande narathama. Then another category, mayaya apahridajnanam, one whose knowledge has been taken away by maya. People in this world think they are very intelligent. A lot of people think they are very, very intelligent. And they write big, what do they say, theses and all kinds of things and get so many degrees and qualifications from everywhere. But Krishna is saying there, mayaya apahridajnanam, their knowledge has been taken away by maya. They did not even know about that. Okay, it may get them some great benefit in materially, but as far as spiritual life is concerned, they are not making any success at all. Mayaya apahridajnanam, then asuram bhavamashridaha. At the end of that, they turn into demons. In other words, their nature will become demonic. After years of this acquiring material knowledge, eventually they will turn out to be demons. Why? Because Krishna has given us a certain amount of time and a certain amount of intelligence and certain amount of ability also in us, energy in us. And if you have used it for the wrong purpose, for actually the purpose is meant to understand Krishna. But if you don't use it for that purpose and use it in the wrong direction, asuram bhavam ashridaha, eventually we become a demon at the end. And then Bhagavad Gita will look very strange, Bhagavatam will look very strange, everything will look very strange. Then we have to depend on the modern science. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.